This is the Real Magic Podcast. Learn about great design and use it to get great results. Now your hosts, Greg Merrilees and Alan Nunez.
Hello, listener, and thank you for joining Alan and I for the Real Magic Design Podcast, where we try to unpack our experience to help designers and business owners understand how to create amazing designs and work together to make design that is profitable. I'm Greg from Studio One Design, and here's my partner, as always, Alan from Pixel Partners. How are you, man?
Man, I am awesome. Greg, how are you doing today? This episode that we're about to roll into is going to be just so much fun. Waiting in the wings for us today is Taki Moore, and for anybody who hasn't experienced the Taki Moore, you are going to have an absolute blast. He is just going to give us insights into how he operates. This is relevant for designers and business owners. We are going to sort of try and keep it on design, but I know that we are just going to get some gold out of Taki. Now, before we get into that, Greg, what have you had happening this week?
You are super excited, man. I can tell because you asked me how I am and then he just rolled over it. So I'm good. Thanks, buddy.
I'm buzzing. Like, I know Taki's just dying to get in here. I mean, he's messaged you this morning. I've messaged him this morning. We just can't wait.
He's tapping his bare feet right now. So, yeah, no, it's been a good week for me. Actually, we've been doing a bit of Google advertising and remarketing for Downline T-shirt designs, which is going really good. And, you know, it's really boosted the website visitors and conversions, all that sort of stuff. But one thing that I've been doing is getting educated on YouTube advertising and Pinterest ads for YouTubers with Gideon Shelwick and Keith Krantz. They're both gurus with advertising. And Pinterest is through Ezra, and he's got some really smart strategies on that. But, yeah, that's exciting me. What about you, Al?
Mate, actually, that's really interesting. I just want to ask you something there. When you say you're doing Google advertising and remarketing, are you doing display advertising?
Yes.
Yeah, nice. I think that is a really underutilized tool, you know, display advertising and YouTube advertising. There's some awesome value to be had in those mediums, and everyone tends to focus just on the search advertising.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, display is fantastic. And with remarketing, it's completely relevant. And, you know, we've set it up so that it excludes people that have gone through to the thank you page, for instance, so you're not wasting money with people that were just sort of, you know, shopping around.
Yeah, nice. And you can be really targeted. I mean, you can send the right message to the right people by simply, you know, having advertising based on actions they've taken either within your website or actually, you know, Google's doing some really nice stuff with in-market advertising and stuff like that, where it's behavioral targeting rather than keyword targeting as they've done in the past, which is very cool.
Nice. Yeah, the future's incredible for advertising, online at least.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
What have you been doing?
Mate, actually, I'm having a blast at the moment. I am in the process of writing an 8-week course, you know, and basically what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to build a course that takes a design business through every step that I took. So essentially, you know, replicate, but for your own business, the steps, the tools, the tricks, the tips, the hacks that I used in my business, basically to double my revenue and triple my profit within 12 months.
Nice.
Yeah, look, it is cool. And I kind of got to a point where, you know, I've had some fabulous mentors over the years. You know, going back, right back to, you know, when I was a teenager, I was lucky enough to be taken under the wing of a fabulous photographer. And I've had some great mentors over the years. And I just feel like I'm at a point where it's time for me to share what I've learned, you know, and in a much more specific area, you know, because the reality is it's taken me a lot of years and a lot of mistakes to get a working formula. And if I can help people skip those mistakes, then, you know, there's great value for them and it allows me to engage at another level with other business owners. So it's going to be really exciting.
Oh, man, that's absolutely fantastic. For any design business out there that, you know, wants to take their business to the next level, I have no doubt, man, the things that we discussed and have discussed over the last year, even offline, man, yeah, you've got some incredible knowledge up there. I've learned a stack already, so I think you'll do really well.
Yeah, look, I mean, in the course, I can't take credit for every single thing because there's a lot of things that I've learned. But, you know, what I've been able to do is I've been able to mold it specifically around design because I just feel like there are a lot of courses and mentoring. And I mean, you're talking about going to gurus to learn about, say, Google advertising, remarketing, and things like that. But, you know, having a formula to apply it specifically to a design business is very different, you know, because being a service business, sometimes it's a little hard to fit into the same models that other people are teaching for general businesses.
Yeah, absolutely, buddy. I know that's super exciting, but I reckon we should introduce our guest.
Look, definitely. How about we get him in here? Hey, Tuggy, it's awesome to have you here today. Mate, on The Real Magic, we really try and help designers and business owners work together to make design that's profitable. And you take design in your business just to a whole new level, from designing frameworks for everything that you do, right through to, you know, the frameworks for your marketing, for your live presentations, for your products. They're just such an amazing high level of design there in your work. Just so that everyone can get a little, so the listener can get a little bit of context, can you just really quickly share, you know, a brief overview of who you are and your journey that's brought you here today?
Dude, I've got to get an answer for that kind of question. Every time I do an interview, somebody says, tell me your story. I'm like, oh, man, I don't really know. Let's do the 30-second version. Hopefully, it'll be sort of useful to somebody. So my name's Taki, live in Sydney, 6 kids, 1 wife, 2 nannies. That's how we stay sane. Business-wise, I teach coaches and consultants how to market and how to sell and then how to scale their business up by building courses and online programs. 39, bad surfer, new to CrossFit and Vespa. Think about my kind of, this could be the you know, the segue to the show, is I think about my business as my art, as the canvas I get to kind of create on every day.
And I think anybody that knows you, that summary of your business as art is just so succinct. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, literally do. It's funny. About a year and a half ago, I was in a, just thinking through vision. Actually, I had a potential client say, so what's your vision? And I didn't have like a pre-packaged, like canned answer. So, I told her what was true for me at the time. And it wasn't a vision thing. It was more like a vibe. In fact, one of the things that Mike, who does a lot of my print design, Greg, you do all my online and kind of graphic-y stuff. But Mike helped me get over the, I don't need a style guide, I just need a vibe guide. So everything kind of feels like it fits together in one kind of vibe. And so I was thinking about vision. I've been pretty well known for a while, guys, at the kind of the quality and the look and feel of my content, that sort of art. And then I took a step back and thought, what if the canvas was heaps bigger? What if it wasn't just my content, but what if the whole business could be my art? So what if the way, what if everything backstage, kind of internal, looked and felt that classy? What if the way we answer the phone was art? What if the,
Yeah.
What if the venue we choose for our events and the place we go for dinner, just kind of, what if every piece was now a canvas we could kind of pour our soul out onto? That's kind of how it, it's kind of fun.
It certainly shows, Taki. There's no doubt that everything you do, I've been on your webinars and you've seen you present a few times, everything you do just has that high quality, consistent look about it, which is fantastic. One thing also I noticed at your events is, one thing that you're really famous for really is frameworks, which you use on absolutely everything throughout your business. Can you tell us why you do that and how it can help the listener in their business?
Yeah, super, super simple. Hey, so, what's a framework? It's like a shortcut, a recipe for getting a great result fast, right?
Yeah.
So the easiest way to think about kind of why I do that is to think about, well, what happens if you don't? If you've got to do something more than once, like Greg, I'm sure one of the things that you put out regularly is websites for people, one of the many things. One of the things I put out regularly is webinars or trainings for clients. If you've got to do it more than once, and every time you have to start like completely from scratch with with no starting point, everything gets harder. The thinking is the hard part. And so if I can just have a framework or a step-by-step system for everything that I've got to do more than once, then what that allows me to do is it takes all the pressure off and it allows me just to focus on the creative bit, not on structure. And so the framework gives me the structure, and I know that this, if I use this structure, for example, to write an email or create a webinar or a landing page or a whatever, if I've got a structure that helps, I can just kind of be creative around the content and not have to worry about the structure, knowing that the structure is I'm going to lean on structure, not on style. If I lean on the structure, it's going to do a great job, and I can put all of my creative juices into, great, I've got to come up with headline here. I've got 3 different headline starters. Let's kind of map out a few. That one's going to be great. We'll use that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Al, you got something to add to that?
Oh, mate, that makes absolute sense. And look, you know, Greg and I are big advocates in design of checklists.
Completely.
You know, like cross-reference what you're doing against a simple checklist. And I think checklist framework is a similar thing, but I think you have a knack of doing it just so much more elegantly. Look, I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Love the spot. That's my favourite spot. Throw me the ball. Watch what I do with it. Put me in, guys. Here we go.
What's your favourite framework, whether in life or business, that you use every day?
Dude, what a great question. Can I give you a couple?
Oh, we'll let you give us a couple.
Thanks, man. So like, we'll do One Life, One Business. Here's my favorite at the moment. It was really fun with my, I got six kids, and so a couple of them are pretty young, and I still tuck them into bed and stuff. There's a framework I learned from Dan Sullivan called the three wins, which is just, you know, what are the three wins you had today, and what are three wins you want to have tomorrow? So I put my girls into bed, and we do bedtime stories, which we usually make up, and we've got a fun way of doing that. But then, you know, before kind of we cuddle and kiss and say goodnight to these, you know, five and six-year-old, we do three wins. So what are the three wins you had today? And the girls tell me their three wins. And it's one of their favorite things is like to tell me their wins. And then what are three wins you want tomorrow? And so usually one of them involves gelati, please, Dad. You know, so that's just like a really simple structure for, you know, how do you kind of capture great things from your kids' days? And I do it myself. Like I'm really good at productivity, but not in a traditional sense. Like I can't use a diary or any of that stuff. I suck at my own calendar. But one thing, I just get a post-it note every day and I just put down three big things I want to get done for the day, and that's my, you know, my grand plan. If I can get my three things done, I'm golden. That's three wins.
Yeah, I love that. That's awesome.
It's so simple, right? It's like a post-it note, Sharpie marker, three things, and I'm, you know, if I can get those three things done, I'm kind of golden, right?
Anything? You love your Sharpies.
Love my Sharpies. the other kind of most kind of work-related framework I probably use all the time is something I use every time I've either got to create a new product or build a new training, so a webinar or a live event, or write any kind of promotional message, usually kind of a promo email. And it's the simplest thing in the world. If you imagine, dude, if you just grab a Sharpie or a pen right now and just make a vertical line and a horizontal line like a quadrant, you know, like a cross with four boxes around it.
Yep, done it.
So all we're thinking about is we pick a topic. In fact, let's do design, you know, the importance of design for, like, let's call it money-making design, right? That's kind of our topic area. And so what we want to do is we want to get people hooked to listen to this conversation right now about money-making design. Is that okay?
Sounds good to me.
All right. So the vertical line, at the top of that, let's go left and right first. Let's go the left-hand side. Everything on the left-hand side is going to be away from motivated. In other words, bad thing happens if you get this wrong. So just put the left of the horizontal line, just put away. And on the right-hand side, let's put toward. So everything on the right-hand side is things we want, and everything on the right is things we don't want, effectively, right?
Yep.
We're mapping hot buttons here, you know, kind of motivations. So we think about top and bottom now. The top is immediate. In other words, things which are going on right now. And the bottom are things which are imagined, you know, things which are going to happen maybe someday in the future. So if we've got away and towards, immediate and imagined, now we've got like four different lenses to look at our marketing and motivation for. So if we go the top left are things which you want to move away from right now. Well, let's call those frustrations. If you think about the bottom left, you know, things you want to move away from in the future, you know, things that you imagine will be bad sometime later, they're called fears. Immediate towards are things that you want, so we'll call them wants. And imagine towards, like things in the future, are aspirations, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I do. Every time I've got a webinar to create or a presentation to build or a promo email to do, I'll pick a topic, in this case, you know, design for profit, and we'll go, so what are the frustrations? So if somebody doesn't have design for profit, guys, what are kind of three big frustrations they'll have?
Do you want to take that one, Greg?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they'll probably have a crappy website.
Great, crappy site.
Yeah. Go well, what's
next frustration?
Out-of-date branding.
Yeah, so that you look out-of-date, right? Last thing, doesn't convert.
Yeah, sure, exactly.
So I've got a crappy site, I look out of date, it doesn't convert. They sound like kind of pretty frustrating frustrations. If those three things all happen and my worst fears come true, what am I scared about long term? If I've got a crappy site, it looks out of date, and it doesn't convert, what's my long-term fear?
Losing the business.
Yeah, I lose the biz, exactly. So right now in my top left, I've got crappy site, looks out of date, doesn't convert. That's my three frustrations. And I've got one fear, you'll lose the biz. So then we're going to do the right-hand side. So these are the ones. The easiest way to do this is just, what have you got on the left? We're going to flip it inside out. So if we've got crappy site, what do they want instead? They want a?
Awesome site.
Yeah, like an awesome site. Perfect. Great. If it used to look out of date, what do they want instead?
Modern.
Yeah, they want it to look kind of super fresh, modern, cutting edge. And instead of, you know, a site that doesn't convert, we want it to like convert like mad, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Perfect. And instead of losing the biz, what do they want? Well, they want to kind of win the biz at a premium price. Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, man.
So cool. So if I was doing an intro to a show about that, we could say something like this. Hey, guys, welcome to today's session on profitable design. Really glad you're here because the stakes are really high. So if you get this wrong, if you don't have profitable design, we look at your website. It's going to be really crappy. Frankly, you'll be suffering what some of my clients call website shame. You know, people kind of judge your technical skills based on the look and feel, the only thing that you show them, which is the website. And if it looks out of date, they're not going to be imagining too much more from you. Worst case scenario is kind of they kind of judge you as being out of date and your site doesn't convert. What's the result of that? Well, you lose the business every single time. And if you keep that going, it's not too long before that puts all sorts of financial pressure on you. That's the bad news. Like, that's why we're listening to this podcast today. Because if you listen to what we're about to talk about, then instead of having a crappy site, you can have an awesome site. One that, instead of being out of date, is fresh, current, modern, cutting edge even. And we send people, to come and check out the site, and it converts like crazy. So not only do you win the business, but you win the business at premium prices without getting any kind of price pressure back on you. That's why I want to talk to you about this topic today. Does that make sense?
Man, that's why you're the coach of all coaches.
but can you see how easy it is the moment you've got a framework?
Yes.
Yeah, Taki, that was supremely simple. And I've got to say, that's actually one of the first frameworks I think I've been able to write fast enough to keep up with your speaking.
Perfect, man.
Did you do the framework as well, Taki, on a whiteboard?
I've got it here in front of me on a piece of paper in blue and red.
Can you photograph that so we can use it on the show notes?
Yeah, I totally can. It looks a bit sketchy, but I'm happy to share.
That's great. Thanks.
Look, I love the fact that you've been able to illustrate just so simply how important these frameworks are. And I think, Greg and I talk about checklists, which are very wordy and they're sometimes intimidating, but you have this knack of being able to add that element of creativity, that element of design into the frameworks just to simplify them and make them easy for just about anybody to use. Now, look, I'm going to divert here. Thank you very much for sharing those frameworks. The one with your kids in particular, I really love. I do something similar with our kids at dinner time. I've got three kids under the age of 8. And, every dinner we talk about something that we did that was new, fun, or exciting. Love and that. Something that we're grateful for today.
Yeah.
So having those frameworks teaches them, to really think about these things on a daily basis. And I love those three wins ideas. That's great. Look, I've just got to ask you, and again, this is probably a little bit left field. You have frameworks for just about everything.
Yeah.
And Greg probably knows the answer to this, but I want to see how you approach it. Do you actually have a framework for when you engage a graphic designer to design something in your business?
You know what? I don't. Which is really lame. Here's what I do have.
Well, you have your vibe.
Well, I've got my vibe, but what I do have is I've got – usually what I start with is a sketch. So I've usually got a pretty good idea of what I want. So I think, for example, Mike, who does my print work, my workbooks. Usually with Mike, it's I've got the fastest process in the world. And so I go, okay, we're going to do a worksheet about naming your product, for example. What sort of things would go on that worksheet? And I'll just kind of mind map it out and I'll put them into the right order. And then I'll just literally, I'm quite analog. So we're on a computer right now recording this. I've got an online business, but frankly, I'm at my happiest place with a Sharpie marker and a big roll of brown paper. So just off to the left of my desk here on the floor, that's a stand-up desk, but like at foot level, there's a big fat roll of craft paper that I bought from Officeworks, like 100 meters of brown roll, right? And I just scroll this thing up and it sits across my desk and I scribble on it. And when I'm finished, I just kind of drag it off to the left and eventually the pile over on my left kind of gets to about waist height and I've got to like throw it out. With Mike, who does my print work, because we've been doing this together for years, it just flows. Like I basically grab a Sharpie marker and I sketch out how I want it to be, take a photo, stick it into Slack, which is the chat tool that we use, and it takes me, 2 minutes to draw. And now we've got to the point where it takes him about 10 minutes to make and it's back to me as a, as an editable PDF ready to rock and roll. So we've kind of got a real shorthand now for how that works. With Greg, I'm still kind of learning. Like, you've just got heaps of skills that I don't have, and so I don't have a briefing framework, but I've got a shorthand that I use with Mike to kind of make awesome fast.
Yeah, yeah. But you do that with us as well. Like, you'll always sketch something up, which is essentially a framework.
It is, but I don't have like a mental checklist. Okay, so Greg's going to need to know this and that and this and that. I've got like, I wanted to do this. I want it to look consistent with everything else I do. And then I've got a sketch which has a rough idea. And most of the time, Greg, what comes back from you is either exactly what I drew or something that was so good that I couldn't have even imagined to draw it. And it comes back like, yeah, Tucky, we kind of listened to you, but we've done this and this. I'm like, yeah, it actually is. Thanks, man. So,
Oh, look, I think I love the idea that you go analog. I think people try and overcomplicate things, you know, just get it out of your head and onto paper and send it to your designer and at least give them a starting point. I think people overthink these things way too much.
Yeah, if you've got a bit of an eye for it, you can totally do that. Now, there's some things, Greg, which I come to you with like no idea about. You know, I need something that sort of does this. And what I know is that you know our vibe.
Yep.
You know, kind of colors, you know, the fonts we'll use, the stuff that we kind of totally don't do,
yeah.
The things that we do. And I know that kind of every conversation we have is in the context of, you know, the vibe that you know and kind of protect. I think Mike, he's kind of the unsung hero behind Black Belt, you know, our company. He's
almost created like the look, the style guide, if you like.
Completely yeah. has. Yeah. Like I call him the protector of the vibe. So his job is to, you know, protect, enhance the vibe and make sure that everything we do sings on message.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's got complete creative control over, you know, I'll go, hey, man, I'm thinking about this. And he'll come back with, he goes, yeah, I listen to you, but I think that. Very rarely do I go, actually, man, no, I overrule you, because 99, he's just got an eye that is like several levels sharper than mine.
Yeah, he's really good, really good designer.
I think so. The lesson from that is if you want to have a competitive advantage, like you think about the companies that we adore, you know, that we aspire to, the things which kind of really make us feel that all of them have got. Yeah, they're in the fashion business. They're in the design business. And so you want to think about your design and not as an afterthought, but how do you bake them into your business so that they are a competitive advantage?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, most startups these days, you know, the bigger startups, like, you know, services or software, for instance, they will invest in design more so than anything else because they know how important it is. It can sort of make or break them.
Yeah, and in my world, the deliverable that most people get from me is training, right? Is content.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm biased, but I work harder than I believe that, you know, my stuff is better than everybody else's stuff. You know, I guess we've all got to have a little bit of that about us. And I firmly believe that in my space, at least, there's nobody whose content is, you know, as kind of well-structured, put together, thoughtful and result-getting as mine. But here's the biggest sin in the world. Wouldn't it be terrible if you had the best stuff in the world, but prospects wrote it off and disregarded it because of the way it looked?
Yeah,
I think the worst thing in the world would be if my stuff was world-class, but nobody treated it that way because it looked substandard.
Exactly, yeah.
Mike's job for me and your job for me kind of web-wise is how do we make my stuff look as good as it actually is?
Exactly, yeah. And that's our goal every time for sure because, yeah, we do get a lot of talent like yourself that come to us and want a kick-ass design. And we sometimes, you know, we try to go beyond how good your content is just to make sure that we're at least going to equal it.
Yeah, I don't think you can get better than my content. I'm just biased. But
that's probably true. Yeah.
There's no ego on this podcast at all. Yeah.
No, none at all. But we'll rub your ego a little bit because it is pretty good. I heard you say that same statement. You and I were having dinner after an event that we went to earlier this year and you made that comment about, you know, I would really hate for somebody to write my quality product off because it looks crap.
Yes.
Right? And I'm just curious because you have a flair and you are quite creative and, I mean, you still pay designers to do the design work.
Yeah.
And design is just such an important part of your business today. But I'm just curious, was it always like that? Or did you have an aha moment where, you know, all of a sudden you realize that high quality design would have a profound impact on your business?
Oh, I don't know that I had an aha. I definitely have a huge, you know what, you know, here's where it came from. Actually, I did have an aha. I was working with a client and with Mike. So he and I used to be, we were kind of business partners in a marketing consulting company. We had the red model, you know, basically we'd both do the work and we'd split the money down the middle. It was kind of a model. It turned out that in the end of the day, there was enough work for both of us, but not nearly enough money for either of us. And it didn't work that great. But we were working on this client stuff and her name was Alice and we had to put together a flyer. And so he had the design and I had the copy. So, you know, together we'd work on strategy. I'd write the copy for this flyer and then the copy was hot. Like it was really smoking. And then I sent it to Mike. And it was just like a text document, right, with, you know, headlines and words and bullets and stuff. And it came back like $1 million. And my brain went, oh, my God, you know, like best copy in the world. Like copywriters will tell you how important copy is. And it completely is. But like if you take great copy and you have good information design around it, like you can create stuff that enhances the message, not distracts from it. then it's just next level. So that's, I think that's when I first just kind of saw the power in this. Like, I created something amazing. You know, I worked hard at something that I thought was, you know, was really solid. And then Mike just, you know, took it up about tenfold just by, you know, really clean, simple, thoughtful design. And I was just kind of hooked.
Yeah, that's absolutely gold. And that's definitely the goal of you know, every designer. Well, it should be anyway.
Yeah, it's about enhancing a message, right?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And, you know, when we're designing sales pages, for instance, we do a lot with, you know, Kevin Rogers and the whole Copy Chief community, which is the whole community of copywriters. And, you know, I started this thread and actually did a webinar with Kevin Rogers on how to respect the copy, essentially, because a lot of designers will just chop it up and segment it off, and we really need that flow, and that flow is so important of the copy. You don't want to wreck it with the design.
No, you don't. You know, in the old days, you know, the old guard of, you know, of marketing says that ugly stuff sells.
Yeah.
Maybe in the old days, dude, but not now. Here's what happens when I read ugly stuff. I just go, bzzz.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, you might be amazing, but there's no way I'm going to pay you $2,000 for your kind of slapped together pack of crap, no matter how good you think it is. Just because, like, if you don't get that the world has changed, then how relevant are you really?
Exactly. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what figures come out in the next year or so in relation to ugly design, because I think has been as well. We'll see. Hey, Taki, I've got another question. One thing, like, I notice when, I mean, you do a lot of illustrations at your events and on your webinars, etc. And, you know, it's obviously frameworks, etc. But, yeah, can you just talk? I think you're quite talented, actually. Do you illustrate much? And what are the benefits of doing the illustrations live?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things. I don't think I'm a very good drawer, but I'm good at three shapes. So if you think about it, every drawing you see from me, and I learned this from a great friend of mine called Matt Church, is a circle or a triangle or a square. So every model, and typically at a workshop or on a webinar, I'm drawing models, right? And they're made up of simple shapes, circles, triangles, and squares. You know, I don't do illustrations much, but they're all things which allow you to get context around my content. So if you think about that, content is, you know, here's the thing I'm teaching, you know, the point. And if we chunk up a level and go, so what's this really about? What's the, you know, what does it mean and what should I do? That's context stuff. So what I love models for, whether it's drawing, you know, live in an audience or on my iPad on a webinar, is it allows people to understand something at a, you know, much bigger level of depth, almost project themselves into the model and figure out where they sit and what's next, just based on creating some shapes and some distinctions around, you know, it, like just like we did with the four forces, fears, frustrations, wants and aspirations. The moment I go, you know, there's away from and towards. Okay, so now I've got like this or that. And then if we play another axis, which is immediate and imagine, you know, now or later. So now we've got two axes, which lets us go, so there's awareness of these axes. Next thing comes distinctions. So I've got, if you have away from motivation and something that's immediate, what do we call that? Well, let's call that a frustration. And so it just allows you to three-dimensionalize and play with ideas in a way that you can't if you just have like a bullet point and one, you know, one sentence. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, and it draws you in. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, and frankly, I can't think without a pen and paper. So I just, like, I started, you know, anytime I'm sitting with a client face-to-face, I've got a big fat roll of paper and some Sharpies. And I just, you know, just kind of translated that when I started to do Q&A calls with my clients. Originally, it was going to be like a conference call, you know, it's like an audio thing. And I realized I'm kind of useless without a pen here. So why don't I draw? And I said, well, I'm going to draw. I should show them the drawing because there's no point kind of me drawing and getting clear. I find it just an incredibly helpful way to get people on the same page and to kind of share an idea and kind of lean into an idea and play with it a little bit.
I think that's fabulous. I mean, you know, you talk about the, you know, not having a style guide, but having a vibe. And I think that your illustrations are part of that feel, part of that vibe of your entire business entity.
Yeah.
And the way I see it from a design point of view, it's almost like giving somebody directions. And it's the difference between trying to write down a series of directions, you know, turn left here, go straight 100 meters, turn right, turn left, or drawing them a map.
It's exactly,
you know, right. You draw them a map and people are much more likely to get there a lot more easily and have reference points on the map, you know, draw the little building on the corner where they've got to turn right,
yeah,
rather than just tell them about it.
Yeah.
Know? So
it's really interesting you kind of bring up the vibe guide, because if I think about, you know, Albie's black belt, we've got this thing that we, you know, we work pretty hard at living at. We're nowhere near there, but we call it the soul, and it's nine, you know, I guess you call them values, right? You know, nine things which make up the DNA or the soul of black belt. And one of them is class, and one of them is art, And there's this other one, which is actually the second one in the list of nine, and it's called Barefoot. And I think it talks about being kind of free and a little bit organic and a little bit, a little bit unplugged. And so there's class in all of our slides and all of our collateral, but give me a Sharpie and just watch the Barefoot magic come out a little bit. And so I think it's kind of, not only is it a really great way to communicate our message, but it's completely on brand. And I guess the brand really comes out of the soul and not the other way around, you know?
And you do get around barefoot on stage.
Yeah, most of the time. Yeah, it's rainy where I am right now. So today is a shoes on day. But I don't know who it was said that they measure success by the number of days they can go without shoes. I'm a little bit, kind of aspiring in that direction.
Oh, Greg, you know what? We've had to cut that episode short. The episode actually goes for quite a bit longer, but you know what? We were having so much fun and there's just so much gold there. We wanted to respect you, the listener, and just break this into two parts. So make sure you subscribe to our iTunes so that you get the next episode as soon as it comes out, and we'll continue with Taki. I mean, some of the stuff he's delivered today is just phenomenal. Greg, what would your killer tip or listener action be based on what we've talked about today?
The framework that he gave us, I think, is ideal for any design business to seriously look at, because you can turn that into a sales message for your video for your website, for instance, or even the content, the written content. But just if you haven't got a framework, just think about getting a framework. It'll make your life easier.
My killer tip is just stop and look at what you're doing more than once in your business. If you've got to do it twice, three times, four times, if you've got to do it every week, every day, whatever it is, develop a framework. I mean, you and I, we call them checklists. I do think the way Taki Moore does it and his more illustrative manner is definitely a very nice way to do it. People are very receptive to different things. But, go and have a look at Taki Moore's stuff. Take the framework that he showed us today and try and implement it. But if you are doing something more than once, or your team is doing something more than once, have a checklist or have a framework for it. Just pick one thing and develop that framework and see how much easier your life is.
Exactly. And go, when you said check out Taki's website, we haven't given his address so far on this episode. So it's coachmarketingmachine.com.
Yes. Or just Google Taki Moore or check him out on Facebook. He's actually pretty easy to find. He's fairly well known.
Certainly is, man.
All right. Well, look, thank you very much, listener. Sorry to cut this episode short. We know that if the episodes go too long, it's a bit hard on the ears. So catch us on the next one. I've had a great time today. Greg, I'll catch you on the next one.
Absolutely. Thanks, listener.
Thanks for listening to The Real Magic Podcast. Hear more at therealmagic.com.